The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trionicus, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." John said to the crowd that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by stating, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong from his sandal, for he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, everyone. Children, gather around. I want to speak with you a few moments. How are you this morning? I see ya. That's awesome. So one of my favorite things to do during this time, Christmas time, is to make Christmas cookies. Do you guys make Christmas cookies? Sometimes. Do you watch your parents make Christmas cookies, maybe? Somebody like that? No? Wow. Well, you know, a lot goes into making Christmas cookies, right? I mean, you have to prepare a time to actually do it. You got to go out and get all the ingredients, right? And the recipes. You got to get those ready. So there's a lot of preparation that happens during those times. But it's the joy and the experience of making those cookies, right? And what's the best part of making Christmas cookies? Eating them. Right? Yes, eating those Christmas cookies. That's the best part of it. And you know what's even better than eating the Christmas cookies? Sharing those Christmas cookies with other people, right? And this year, it's a little tough. But even after you help your parents make them and clean up, right? That's your job. You get to eat them, and then you get to eat them together. So as we share the joy of the Christmas cookies, that's kind of like sharing the joy that God has put into us and us proclaiming. That's kind of a different word. But whenever we tell each other about God's love, that is proclaiming the word of God and God's love to one another. And we can do that just in our actions, just by sharing Christmas cookies with one another. We are proclaiming the joy that God has put into us and proclaiming God's love. That's the fun part of making Christmas cookies. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for Christmas cookies and all the different ways we prepare for your son's birth. As Jesus is born to us, we get to share so much love by sharing Christmas cookies and sharing gifts and love with one another. Help us to proclaim your love to others in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. So as we make ready for our conclusion to Advent, our Advent season, we have heard in the last few weeks how to prepare. We prepare by pondering God's love. We heard in Advent 1 to be open as Mary was open in saying, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." We prepare by praying. Not that we pray to prepare God for what we want, yet we pray to prepare ourselves for what God has done and continues to do for us and all of creation. And we also prepare by praising God. We praise God for allowing us joy brought by seeing the Holy Spirit in others, and in doing so, the inbreaking of God into our world. Now we prepare to proclaim. We share God's love with the world by claiming it for ourselves and proclaiming it to others. Now there's a fine line between praising God and there's a fine line between praising and proclaiming. Praising God is acknowledging the hope and the joy the Holy brings within ourselves and recognizing that hope and that joy in others, just as Elizabeth felt it in herself and saw it in Mary. Proclaiming is what we hear John the Baptist doing in today's gospel reading. Preparation for John the Baptist to proclaim Jesus has been in process before he was born. Remember, John was filled with the Holy Spirit prior to being born. In Luke 1, 14 and 15, we hear, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, I can't imagine the expectation felt by Zechariah and Elizabeth, knowing that their son was filled with the Holy Spirit before birth, or the pressure felt by John being raised knowing that was his destiny. It must have been hard growing up knowing that that was your purpose. I would have loved to hear the interactions between John and his parents as he was growing up. "Johnny, get up and read your Torah. It's not going to read itself." For someone with the Holy Spirit, you would think he would have a bit more fire in him. "Johnny, clean up your room. For someone filled with the Holy Spirit, your room's a mess." "Johnny, pick up your camel hair shirt off the floor. You don't want it to be wrinkled." "Johnny, stop eating those locusts and honey already. Get out there and help your father in the temple." "Johnny, hurry up and get ready. You have 10 minutes before your baptism lesson, and the Holy Spirit is waiting." Maybe John was more like, "Mom, I'm 21 now. Why can't I have wine? Jesus was at a wedding last week and turned water into wine, but I can't have any? It's not fair." Maybe that's why John was so cranky, calling everyone a brood of vipers as they came to be baptized. In each of the Gospels, the action or testimony of John the Baptist is recorded, yet only Luke and Matthew record this line about brood of vipers, yet with Luke's version being more severe. Matthew's name-calling was directed only at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, where Luke's name-calling was directed to all who came to be baptized. Now, I advise you not to call people a brood of vipers as you proclaim God's love this Advent, even though it worked for John. You know, instead of people finding themselves offended by John's viper insults, the crowd, the tax collectors, and soldiers were moved to listening and asked, "What should we do?" In each case, he gave them specific answers. And the crowd asked him, "What then shall we do?" In reply, he said to them, Whoever has two coats must share with another one, with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. And they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." I believe this yearning to know exactly what it will take to be among the in crowd is found in each one of us. We wish to be told exactly what we need to do to receive forgiveness, to claim repentance. There's a strong drive within us to be on the right side of things. Everyone wishes to be in or correct or on the good side of things. No one wishes to be considered out or incorrect or on the bad side. Fear of being out, incorrect, or bad, all relative to a person's context, I might note. But that fear of being out of the group is a great motivator to make people listen, change, and confirm. Yes, I said confirm. The expectation of being filled with the Holy Spirit leads us to expect ourselves to be perfect. It leads us to expect others to be perfect as well. When the truth is, we are living in our own context, in our own set of circumstances, with our own ideas of purpose, justice, truth, and faith. And as we do the best we can in showing love for others, that's where God is there, holding us in grace, forgiveness, and love. In our affirmation of baptism service found in our hymnal, page number 234 of the ELW, we pray, "Merciful God, we thank you for these brothers and sisters whom you have made your own by water and the word in baptism. You have called them to yourself, enlightened them with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished them in the community of faith. Uphold your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen." If we look back to who John the Baptist is from the Isaiah passage, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth." And if we look back at what John the Baptist is doing, he went to all the region around the Jordan proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Very plainly, he is proclaiming equality for all creation. Prepare the way of the Lord. What is the Lord's way? How can we make the Lord's path straight? John is stating, see that every valley of bias and prejudice is filled, and every mountain and hill of pride and greed is made low. And as we do, we will recognize all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John's the first one to say through baptism, the water and the Holy Spirit, we are all enlightened with the gifts of God's Spirit and nourished in the community of faith. John asked God to uphold people in the gifts and promises of baptism and unite the hearts of all whom God has brought to new birth. And this is done by the one more powerful than him, Jesus Christ baptizes. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, maybe he didn't say it in those words, but as he answered their questions, "What should we do?" he told them, this is what it is to live through the Holy Spirit. This is what it is to proclaim God's love. If you have two coats, share them with someone who doesn't have any. And do the same with your food. If there is nothing wrong, there is nothing wrong with being a tax collector or if you work for the state, but be honest and full of integrity. Do not collect more than what is prescribed to collect, and do not fall into corruption. There is nothing wrong with being a soldier. It's so honorable. But don't abuse that honor or authority or extort money or power to gain more authority, and be satisfied with your income. The proclamation of John the Baptist is God's love will provide, so that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So listen, you brood of vipers. God's love is proclaimed as we uphold people in equality, with justice. God's leveling gifts of grace and forgiveness are the promises made to all people. And God's presence breaks into our world as the Holy Spirit unites us as the body of Christ. Our expectations of being filled with the Holy Spirit is not meant to fill us with pressure to be perfect, rather to fill us with joy to proclaim the love of God so that the world may know and all flesh will see the salvation of the Lord. My gift for you this morning is a couple minutes to look at our world and think of the ways you can proclaim God's love in our society. The ways to call for equality, justice, and grace. You are a child of God, deserving love and respect. And God will use you to change the world. Join me in thinking of ways of proclaiming God's love, so that all flesh will see the salvation of God. Amen.